10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, the program where we visit reality and face the things that are upon us. I'm Nathan Leal. And the website is watchmanscry.com. Today, I have a very important topic that I need to share, and it has to do with events that are approaching us like a bullet train. And folks, there's going to be a spiritual shockwave that's going to be felt worldwide when these things begin to transpire. Now, I know that this is a bold opening, but this is how perilous the times that we are living in are. Now, part of what I'm going to share today does have to do with some alerts that I released recently, but because of the amount of information that I have to talk about, it's going to require several parts. So this is going to be part one, and part two is going to be coming on the next News from the Wall program. The things that I'm going to discuss are a very touchy and difficult end time topic. It has to do with the end time leader who is going to take the world into perdition and destruction. And he's that guy known to some people as the little horn. That term comes from the book of Daniel. He's also that guy that to some people is known as the quote unquote Antichrist. Some people call him the beast. And while there can be a lot of debate on the semantics of his title, the biblical evidence points to a quote unquote bad guy in the end times. The Bible does let us know that there's going to be an end time villain. And if you're a new listener to this program, one of my desires is to visit the events of the end times as a person seeking to find the truth, to be wise. There's a lot of programs that are talking about the end times right now. You can find them all over cable TV. You can find them on the Christian stations. And most of these programs, most of these discussions are recycling the same stuff over and over and over. So my desire is to be able to present to you some of the end time topics that are taking place right now before our eyes. But I also want to include in those presentations the possibility that those things are going to happen different. So what is the barrier to this attempt at finding truth? Well, the number one barrier that I have before me is the traditions of men and the writings of men that want to discount any other possibility. And folks, we need to be willing to take those possibilities that we've been indoctrinated with, and we have to be willing to set them aside and say, you know what? Maybe it could happen different. Maybe this way that I've been taught for many years, maybe it's wrong, or maybe part of it is wrong. I know I bring this up a lot on these programs, but I just want to really communicate it. The traditions of men are going to be responsible for causing many, many Christians to be caught unaware. The traditions of men are going to be the source problem of why many people backslide in the end times. They're not going to be ready for what hit them. And that is my concern, that the people of God are not making themselves ready. Now, what are some of the traditions that I'm talking about? Well, they're the writings that explain every detail on how it is going to happen. You know those books, folks? Those printed books that you can find at the Christian bookstore, that Babylon is this or that, or that the Antichrist will come from here and not there, or the Antichrist will do this because the interpretations says so, and the interpretation of that verse really makes it clear. So I have taken the effort to set those theories aside and to ask the questions, could it happen another way? That needs to be asked, folks. And while there are many many Christians that are limiting themselves to one certain way, the way that they've been told. I do believe that many of you are smart, and many of you are also willing to ask that open question. What if it was going to happen another way this whole time? We have to ask the hard questions. Now, I know that those ministers and preachers and teachers are well-meaning, but are some of the well-meaning infallible? Nobody's infallible. We're all human. So that's what this is about, folks. And that's why I desire to also say, what if? What if, ladies and gentlemen? What if it's going to happen in a different way? What if the way that that villain conducts himself happens in a way that we didn't expect? For example, what if the quote-unquote Antichrist is not going to sign a peace treaty the way that most people think he will? What if? What if the verses that many believe tell us that he's going to sign a peace treaty mean something else? What if the verses that many believe reveal that the Antichrist is coming from the revised Roman Empire, what if those verses don't mean what they think they mean? There are some people that think he's Prince Charles, or now he's Prince William, and he just hasn't grown his horns yet. But what if that's never going to happen? I know that some people say that the Antichrist must be an Assyrian based on some prophecies found in Scripture, but what if the verse that talks about the Assyrian is not talking about that? Or what if it's being misread? Is that possible, folks? Here's another what if. What if instead of the Antichrist coming from the revised Roman Empire or the European Union, what if the Antichrist is going to come from Babylon? And what if Mystery Babylon is America? And what if, while everyone is looking to Europe, that villain guy is plowing under the land before the eyes of the people and they don't know it? Could this really be possible? Are some of you able to set aside some of the cherished pet doctrines of eschatology? My friend, can you say those words? Even right now, can you say, what if? If you're in a room right now with other people, can you look at them and say, what if Nathan's right? What if? And this very thing is what I'm going to be visiting. And in order to do that, I'm going to need more than one program. So today's program is going to be part one, and it has to do with the Antichrist. And I'm going to go ahead and use that term. I know that I have had some programs in the past that said that term Antichrist is actually not used in end-time prophecy to describe the villain. But let's just, for the sake of simplicity, use that term. So on the next few programs here on the News from the Wall, we're going to talk about that guy. And the reason that I really feel that it's important to do this is because I have been digging very deep on this matter. Now, if you're a regular listener, I also need to explain to you how I'm going to do this series. The reason I'm saying this is because I've been also doing another series that has been a very important series, and that's the Olympic Ceremony series, which has gone very, very deep into the rabbit hole of the coming New World Order plan to take us to the events of Revelation. So far, that other series has 7 parts, and at this point in time, that series has about 11 hours of information. And that project has allowed me to uncover things that have been of great value to the ones that desire to understand these times. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to really, really encourage all of you to please take the time and listen to it, because it covers what they plan to do to this world in the very near future. It covers the coming crash of the dollar. It covers the strategies of deception that they're going to try to use against us. And it also includes strategies for God's people, for you. What do we do? Nathan, okay, you're telling us that we need to learn about all the bad stuff they want to do to us. Why do I want to hear that? Well, here's why, folks. Because by knowing what they're going to do, then you will be aware of their trickery and of their deception. You will have the information and the tools and the knowledge to warn your loved ones to be watching for this or that. When this thing comes upon the world, folks, when the great deception comes upon the world, Jesus told us, if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. That means it's going to catch a lot of people off guard. And I maintain, and I really believe, that those that are going to be caught off guard are going to be those who did not study, who were not aware of the schemes that were coming, who were not aware of the devices of Satan. And folks, that includes your children. If you have kids that are in public school, if you have kids that are in college, they're being bombarded with this garbage. They are being bombarded with the progressive thought that wants to disengage a commitment to God. They are being bombarded with lies that, to this point, have a pretty good record of success with the younger generation. So, what do we do? Folks, what do we do? If they're going to take over the world, what do we do? What should you be doing right now? Well, my theme is find God. Get stronger with God. Find strength with God. But the only way to do that is to first deal with the matters of the heart. Deal with the weaknesses. Deal with the issues of the flesh. And in order to do that, then we have to start getting into the area of spiritual renewal, of spiritual restoration. We also talk about hope, finding his peace. I'm bringing all of this up because I'm going to finish off the Olympic series and then the Antichrist. If you appreciate this effort, our address is Watchman's Cry, Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Now, I want to get started. A few weeks ago, I released a warning about something that I consider very dire and serious. And if you are a subscriber to my notifications, I sent it to you. By the way, if you want to get my notifications when these programs are ready or when I have an article, you can go to watchmanscry.com and subscribe to notifications. But this warning has to do with a grave concern that I've had about the darkness that is coming upon this planet. Over the past few years, I have been sharing that darkness was coming because God had revealed some prophetic dreams where I saw darkness coming, and I've shared this vision many times. The black cloak of darkness came over the land, and dark black drips started coming out of the clouds. There were hundreds of them, and as they hit the ground, black tornadoes rose up out of the ground and caused great destruction from one end of the horizon to the other. And I have been warning about these things for years. And this darkness that God is going to allow is because America has chosen the way of the dark side. America has chosen to forsake God. America has chosen to forget about the statutes and the principles of God. And they have chosen to rely on the dark instinct that is found in their deceptive heart. Spiritual death happens first, and then it turns into a physical death of the land around it. When there is spiritual health over a land, there is bounty. The crops are fruitful. There is blessing. A land that fears God feeds the world, but a land that denies God has to beg for bread. And I have known that this darkness has been coming, but I have not realized or known about the exact details of the darkness that's going to come. I just saw a glimpse of dark, but the way that it's going to play out is actually going to happen in ways that can be written down in a history book. How does darkness arrive over a land? When it shows up, can it be seen in events of the land? Can it be seen in the way people behave, in political choices, in legislative decisions? Can the darkness be seen on the faces of people walking up and down the streets? Can it be heard in their words? Can it be seen in their decisions? Folks, the answer to all of these questions is yes. Darkness can be seen in many ways. When darkness takes over a land, there will be a shift, a deterioration of the things that once made the land great. And the inspiration that comes from that land after darkness arises will be inspiration of the forked tongue of Satan. America is deteriorating into a culture that would embarrass our grandparents. America has become hearing impaired to the voice of God. America has lapsed into spiritual dementia, where she no longer remembers the principles that she was founded upon. America has regressed into the mire of spiritual sewage. America has grown weak. Her riches are becoming the spoils of people from another land. For decades and decades, America was under construction. She was in development. She was improving. But now she has seen the homes and the houses and the real estate disintegrate before her very eyes, looted, falling apart, rotting, and turning into ruins. And as darkness is arriving over this land, it can be seen in many different ways. It's happening in the physical, in all of these dilapidated buildings. It's happening in a real estate crash. It's happening in record amounts of Americans who are now receiving food stamps. We're approaching 48 million. And while we can talk about the economic woes that are confirming what I'm saying, there is one area the darkness was going to be exhibited in the hearts of people, in the lives of people, in the eyes of lost souls. And we're going to see them act different. And the report from the spiritual coroner reveals that rigor mortis has begun in the lives of many people spiritually. As the darkness takes over, the land of America will become the land of Anubis and Necropolis, the city of the dead, the walking dead. And as this happens, there's going to be a great influx of, in layman's terms, let me just say this, folks, an influx of people acting weird, people acting bizarre, people acting crazy and doing things that even they never thought that they would do. My friends, this coming darkness is going to be very strong. It's going to be commanding. It's going to dominate. So what are the people of God supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Nathan, this is depressing. I know, folks. I know it is, but this is the report. And a few weeks ago, I released an alert that had to do with an event that was coming, and I want to talk about that right now. Now, in the last News from the Wall program, I had visited and explained that because we're going to mirror the events that happened to Israel in the Old Testament as America sees her thrust into the downfall, into her perdition, into her desolation, we're going to see similar events. And in rhyming with Old Testament Israel, America is also going to experience many of the same things that Old Testament Israel experienced. And I talked about that in my last program. If you have not heard it, you can go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and it's the News from the Wall program number 10. And until recently, I did not understand the complete picture of what this meant. But over the last few weeks, the Holy Spirit has allowed me to see some of the key points regarding things that are coming to America. In summary, this is what it was. When we examine the way that Jerusalem was invaded in the Old Testament, we can see in the writings of Jeremiah that when Nebuchadnezzar and the nation of Babylon showed up around Jerusalem, certain things took place, and those are recorded in several areas of Scripture. But when I was looking at Jeremiah chapter 39, I was able to see a timeline of events that happened, and also we could see the outline of events that happened to Jerusalem. As I was looking at those events and comparing them to events that were going to happen to America, it was very interesting that we could see how America's fall was going to be. And in Jeremiah 39, verse 1 and 2, we can read about Babylon showing up. They surrounded Jerusalem. And then after a year and a half, they were able to break through the walls. And the princes of Babylon went into Jerusalem. They took the king prisoner. They gouged out his eyes. They killed the noblemen, the rich people. They burned their houses. There were a lot of things that happened. And one of the things that I also shared was, isn't it interesting that it says in Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 1, and I'm going to go ahead and read it because I have it right here. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it. And then in verse 2, it says, in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, on the 9th day of the month, the city was penetrated. That's verse 2. And I had shared in the last program that that's interesting that the influence over Judah actually had started 11 years previous when the king of Jerusalem was placed as a puppet king by Nebuchadnezzar. And Jeremiah 39 tells us this. But the thing that I also see that's interesting in how it compares to America is it says 11 years previous, Zedekiah was made the king. And in the 11th year of him being the king, the city was finally penetrated. And I related in my previous program, if we were to go back 11 years, we would get to the area of September 11th. I believe that something very profound happened in the spiritual realm on 9/11 for the nation of America. And for those of you that have been able to read the book, The Harbinger by Rabbi Kahn, he has been able to uncover how 9/11 was the beginning of the judgment on America. A good portion of that book talks about that. And I can also agree with that. I believe that something very historical in the spiritual realm began on 9/11. So in the same way America was impacted in 9/11, and then if we come 11 years into the future, we had the re-election of Obama. And I was talking about how that re-election confirms to me that the next phase of America's judgment is underway. After I did that program, I received an email from a listener that said, Nathan, if you actually calculated from 9/11, if you start there and you apply the formula found in Jeremiah 39:2, do you know where you end up? I read the letter and I saw where it ended up, and this is what I found incredible, folks, because it confirms to me that America is rhyming with the fall of God's people in the Old Testament. We are repeating history. Here's why, folks. Because like Jerusalem, a mirror of these events is going to happen to America. And some of the things are going to happen in the spiritual realm, and some are going to happen in the physical realm. But the bottom line is that America will also be invaded by Babylon. Now, that's one of the most important things to get a hold of. In the book of Revelation, we are told that at the end of time, we are going to see the existence of what God calls Mystery Babylon. We're going to see the existence of a place, a nation, an empire, a power, a presence on earth that God calls Mystery Babylon. And God calls it a great city. And we are told in the book of Revelation, John shows us how this Mystery Babylon has commerce. They have wealth. They are represented by a people of mixed races. And then when we go into Jeremiah 50 and 51, we can read more about Mystery Babylon, the daughter of Babylon. And it goes into this Babylonian kingdom in the end times will, at the time of the very end, be several things. And one of the things that this nation will be is, it says that it would be the hammer of the earth, or in other words, the world's policeman. And folks, that's what America is. It says that it will be surrounded by water. It will have mixed people. It will have the heritage of God. It will be the golden cup in God's hand. And while this program's purpose is not to go into defending and explaining that America is Babylon, I'm just saying this, folks. Based on what I read in the scriptures, it is not the Roman Catholic Church. And it is not the barren wasteland of Iraq. Iraq does not sit between water. Iraq is not the hammer of the earth. Iraq is not surrounded by ports. Iraq does not buy enough things from the people of the world that if they stop doing it, the whole world would start weeping and crying. Iraq does not fit the mold of who Mystery Babylon can be, but America does. So I have maintained this, folks. As I stated at the beginning of this program, I am visiting the possibility that things are going to be happening different than what we expected. And for some of you that might have the paradigm that America is not found in the Bible and Babylon is Iraq or is the Roman Catholic Church, I want to ask this of you, my friend. If at all possible, just be willing to at least do this. If you want to believe that Babylon's the Roman Catholic Church or Iraq, fine. Leave that on the table. But may I ask this? Also place next to it the possibility that it could be something else. And I'm not saying this to change your mind. I'm saying this so that you can be looking for several possibilities, because then if it starts happening in the revised possibility, then you can do something about it and prepare. So that's a side note. Now, getting back to America, I believe America is Babylon. I heard from the Holy Spirit years ago, Nathan, Lamentations is coming to America. If Lamentations comes here, folks, that means the events of Lamentation also will come to America. And when we look at the events of Lamentations in the Bible, Lamentations happened because Babylon invaded Judah. Babylon took over Jerusalem. So in the same way that Babylon took over Jerusalem back then, if we move forward to the end times, this is what I'm saying, folks. America, who used to have the heritage of God at one time, has backslidden and become an infidel. And at some point in end time history, America is going to go from America, the heritage of God, to America possessed by the spirit of Babylon. So there is a spiritual possession that is going to come over America and take over her. And when we look at Jeremiah 39:2, It says, in the 11th year of Zedekiah, fourth month, ninth day of the month, the city was penetrated. So watch this, folks. If we begin at the starting point of September 11th, 2001, let's apply that formula to America. Jeremiah 39:2. If you have your Bibles, please open it up and look at this. Starting from September 11th, let's go forward 11 years. That takes us to September 11th, 2012. Now, the next part of the formula says in the fourth month. Okay, we're in September 11th, 2012. Now let's go forward 4 months. September, October, November, December, January 11th, 2013. Now, the next part of the formula says on the ninth day of the month. Now let's add 9 days. That takes us to January 20th, 2013. According to Jeremiah 39:2, on that day, the city was penetrated. Now, for us, on January the 20th, 2013, that is the inauguration day for the United States of America. And what are the odds, folks, that we could apply this formula from September 11th and end up at inauguration day, where Obama is going to be inaugurated for a second term, where he will become a lame duck president to do whatever he wants? And folks, this is my concern, and this is the reason that I sent out this alert. Because like Jerusalem, a mirror of these events is going to happen to us. Some of these things are going to happen in the spiritual realm and some in the physical realm. But the bottom line is that America is going to be invaded by spiritual Babylon on January the 20th. Meaning, and folks, I believe that America is going to fall under the possession of spiritual Babylon on Inauguration Day. That means that something very profound is going to happen in the invisible realm. So when it happened to Jerusalem in the Old Testament, the literal nation of Babylon conquered them. But for America, it's going to be spiritual Babylon that's going to come in. Now, what does that mean? Now, folks, please hear what I'm going to say right here. When this event happens, I believe that it's going to turn the United States into the demon-infested land that we can read in the book of Revelation chapter 18, verse 2. Now, as I stated, if we look at the timeline of America, we can see in the past, America was the good old boy America. It was Leave It to Beaver America. It was the Brady Bunch America. But at some point in the future, it gets possessed by an entity. In the book of Revelation 18, 2, it says, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit." That means the prison of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. At some point, Babylon becomes demon infested. Folks, think about that. If Babylon is America and it becomes demon infested, infested with foul spirits, what is that going to look like? And what are we talking about right here? America is going to change into the mystery Babylon described in that verse when this event occurs. And one of the most notable parallels between Jerusalem's fall and America's fall is found in the verse after that. Because it says that then the princes of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Now, let's talk about that day, January the 20th. When we consider that the date lines up with the event of Babylon taking over the land, according to the Constitution of the United States, according to the 22nd Amendment, Article 2, Section 1, and if you're taking notes, make note of this, because when I sent out this alert, I received some emails from people saying, "Nathan, Obama's not getting inaugurated on January the 20th. It's going to be on TV on Monday, the next day, the 21st. You're wrong. But here's the situation, folks. According to the 22nd Amendment of the Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, this is a quote from the Constitution. It says, "The terms of the president and the vice president shall end at noon on the 20th day of January, and the terms of their successors shall begin." So the outgoing president is finished on that day at noon, and the new president gets sworn in. Since Obama has already been the president, he's going to get sworn in for a second term. Now, being that this date falls on a Sunday, they're going to have a private ceremony. And then there's going to be a public ceremony the next day on the 21st, which, by the way, is Martin Luther King Days. So what that means is there's going to be two inauguration ceremonies. Now, in Jeremiah 39:3, in the next verse, it says, "Then all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat at the middle gate." The princes of Babylon. Now, folks, in the natural, Nebuchadnezzar had some nobles that went in to Jerusalem and they celebrated. They sat down at the middle gate and high-fived each other, congratulated one another, and they sat at the middle gate. But if we look at this event in the spiritual realm, it didn't say the first gate or the third gate. It says the middle gate. Now think about this, folks. The middle gate can be viewed as the second heaven where the principalities of Satan dwell in the invisible realm. When we look at the day that Babylon tore down the gates and entered into the city, in the same way, the spirit of Babylon that has been banging on the walls of America is finally going to come in and officially take over America. And I believe it's going to be a very dark event that is going to take place in the invisible realm over America. And how does that translate? In the book of Revelation, we are told that the bottomless pit releases demonic entities during the tribulation period. We are also shown where an event happens where angels who have been bound are released. You know, folks, the invisible realm has more of a reality than the physical realm. The invisible realm is where all the action is happening behind the scenes. There are many things that take place in the invisible realm where angels are having wars with the principalities. There are battles that take place that we don't know about. During the great historical events that have happened, during wars, during world wars, civil unrest, regime change, coups, when many of those events happen before the eyes of humans, there are also things taking place in the invisible realm where angelic hosts are battling the powers of darkness, where the will of God is being conducted behind the scenes. God is a sovereign God. The Bible tells us that he sets up kings and he tears down kings. He raises nations and he destroys nations. He blesses kingdoms and he judges kingdoms. And when those things happen, behind the scenes, there are principalities, there are demons, there are fallen angels that are involved. There are angels that are involved. There are archangels that are fighting and involved. The divine council of heaven sends out the mandate. He sends out the decrees that determine what's going to happen to a president of a country or to a king or a dictator. And folks, based on the present trend of America's judgment that has been prophesied by many people, that has been seen by many people in prophetic dreams and visions, that has been announced, proclaimed, declared, talked about, discussed. Based on all of these things, God has warned and warned the people of America that these things were coming. And now the next phase of the judgment is about to happen, where darkness is going to come over America. And as that darkness comes, the princes of Babylon are going to come into the city of America and they're going to sit in the middle gate, meaning that Satan's principalities and princes are going to swarm into America on Inauguration Day. And these spirits are going to bring a mass influx of spiritual poison over the skies of America, folks. And the end result is going to be an incredible change in the spiritual atmosphere of America. The feral demons are going to be allowed to enter America, and they're going to start to infect the people with their evil demonic sludge, with their mire of deception. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no other way to put this. A dark rain is now coming to America, and it's going to play out. And this means that the future for all of us is going to become very, very challenging. If you're a Christian, it's going to be very challenging for us to stand up to this mess. So what are we supposed to do? Give up? Throw in the towel? Ignore the warning? Pretend I didn't say it? Folks, please think about this. I'm not just talking about a benign event that we can debate whether or not it happened. This is the part that's very concerning. Number one, America is under judgment because America deserves her judgment. 2 days after Inauguration Day next month, January the 22nd, 2013, that's on a Tuesday, is going to be the 40-year anniversary of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion in America. Now, folks, think about that day. It's right after the inauguration, 40 years. And when we consider that it's been 40 years, that means a generation of Americans has now lived while 50 million innocent babies have died. A 40-year window is about to be time-stamped into America's diary. And how interesting is it that that Roe versus Wade date falls within a few days of the inauguration date? And I believe that that's going to confirm the spiritual banishment of America that's going to take place on Inauguration Day of January the 20th. Folks, this thing is very important for Christians to understand. God has stated very clearly in His Word that the nation that forgets God is going to be in trouble. God is not deaf to the blood of the innocent that cries out from the ground. My friends, America's altar of abortion is not going to go unpunished. But America's sins and stains have not stopped there. America has turned into a nation of outlaws who have themselves outlawed God. America has become a nation of a culture and a generation enslaved to the bondages of sin. And when a people live in the bondage of sin, then they eventually find themselves living in the bondage of tyranny. And this is going to be America's future. Tyrannical oppression is going to overshadow America. God's going to allow it to happen. God does not want it to happen. He has pleaded with the people. He has sent His messengers and His voices, but they were ignored. They were mocked and scoffed. Therefore, history is going to write the next chapter. God's going to allow the oppression to overshadow America, and one of the tools that's going to be used to forge the coming chains is going to be the leader in the White House, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, is going to be used to forge the chains over America. And up to this point in time, it looks like it's going to still be Obama. Romney has not cried for a recount. I find it incredibly strange that an election that is so apparently defrauded and stolen, an election that is laced with overwhelming evidence of mishandling and corruption, I find it incredible that the election that reveals itself as a joke to the rest of the world as a stolen election is being ignored by the people of America. And why is that, folks? Did they put something in the water to make the people ignore it? What is it? Were all of the members of the press shushed? Were they told to keep their mouths shut? Was a general memo sent out to the news agency by the Ministry of Propaganda? And did the memo have threats, or was it full of promises? I don't know, folks. Romney caved. He gave in. I don't know why. I don't know what he was told behind the scenes. I don't know what he was given. I don't know what treasure he traded. And for those that might say, Nathan, you're being a sore loser. No, I'm not. The election was stolen. Do your homework. It's obvious. Romney won by a landslide. Romney won overwhelmingly. Romney won by millions and millions of votes. The polls revealed it. The long lines that took hours and hours for the Republicans that were excited revealed it. The people talking about how their vote got switched to Obama after they pressed Romney is overwhelming and coming from many, many different locations. But is it on the news? Is anyone talking about it? No. Why is that? It's because we have now entered and joined into the family of third world communistic regimes. America is now part of the family of Venezuela and Cuba and Soviet Russia when it comes to elections. And you know, folks, when you think about it, because I have thought long and hard about this whole mess, when you think about how there seems to be an anesthetized attitude toward the stolen election where people would rather ignore it and because of fear of being mocked or scoffed, throw away their patriotism and citizenship to do what's right or to cry foul. It seems that instead of people doing that, they're tranquilized. They're zombified. They're anesthetized, which gives further confirmation that there is an entire spiritual event happening over America right now. Regimes do not rise while the people are being vigilant. Regimes of evil do not take over a land when the people have their eyes open and they care. Regimes of evil only take over when the people are in a slumber and they're drunk, drinking out of the golden vessels of the temple of God. But nevertheless, folks, it appears at this point that the one that's going to fulfill the task to judge America is going to be Obama. And since Obama is the one scheduled for inauguration on January the 20th, then he's going to be the one that is going to experience the evil tide of the coming, approaching darkness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this release of darkness is a present undertaking in the spiritual realm. And I find it very, very interesting and coincidental that during the recent Olympic ceremony that I have spent a lot of time discussing and revealing and exposing, the powers that be behind the scenes of that ceremony announced to the world that this event of the release of dark, spiritual, satanic entities was underway. They announced it. They had a theatrical presentation that showed demonic people coming out of the bottomless pit. And the world's not hiding what they're planning to do or what they are doing right now. They showed the ritual. They recreated a theatrical performance where hundreds of demons poured out from Pandemonium, the underworld capital of hell. Now, why did they do this? Do they have to? Is that God's requirement? I don't know. But getting back to Jeremiah 39, from verse 39, verse 1, down to 39, verse 10, a lot of things are revealed that are coming to America. And I want to say them right now, real quick. Now, in the last program, I talked about them, but I just want to say them again. Number one, there is going to be an invasion of spiritually dark forces in the form of very disgusting, foul, sulfur-smelling demonic entities from the underworld. These spirits are not coming to be your friend. These spirits are not coming to start an amusement park, making America a destination resort for the people. These spirits are coming to enslave America. These spirits are coming to chain up America. These spirits are coming to destroy America and make it a desolate wilderness with an undertone of sorrow. They're going to be invisible when they do this. That's number one. That's already happening, but on Inauguration Day, this thing is going to be huge. Number two, the takeover of the political leadership of America is going to happen also. That means that the leadership from the very top is going to be influenced by principalities. And these principalities are going to influence Obama. If he's the one sworn in, it's going to be him. If it's someone else, it will be them. Now, I'm not trying to just pick on Obama, but since he's the chosen guy, he seems to be a very good candidate for influence. And when these principalities come in to the Oval Office and seal the deal, key word, folks, seal the deal, we're going to see America making many blind decisions that make no sense, but they're going to be dark. Now, folks, this is very serious because when Adolf Hitler took over Germany as the chancellor in the early 30s, he was under satanic control. And a normal human without the help of entities would not have been able to accomplish what we saw Adolf Hitler accomplish. He had the genius of otherworldly powers fueling his creativity and deception. And history reveals that Hitler was a demon man. He was an antichrist. In the same way, we are going to see a similar development that's going to result in a dark turn towards tyranny and oppression for America. Now, when Obama was given the election after Romney conceded on election night, when Obama waved at the crowd and his family came out on the stage, there was a song that was played at Democratic headquarters by Stevie Wonder. And if you did not watch or stomach or endure that episode, the name of the song was Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Yours. For those of you that are old enough to remember that Stevie Wonder song, it's a pop song from the 70s, but I find the name of that song very profound when we apply it to this whole situation. Obama stood on the stage and waved at the crowd as the song was playing. So in other words, Obama was waving at the crowd saying, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Or in other words, Obama was waving to invisible forces saying, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours.
Thank you. Thank you so much. 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward. It moves forward because of you. It moves forward because you reaffirmed the spirit that has triumphed over war and depression, the spirit that has lifted this country from the depths of despair to the great heights of hope, the belief that while each of us will pursue our own individual dreams, we are an American family and we rise or fall together, we rise or fall together, we rise or fall together as one nation and as one people. Tonight, in this election, you, the American people, reminded us that while our road has been hard, while our journey has been long, we have picked ourselves up. We have fought our way back. And we know in our hearts that for the United States of America, the best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come.
Our economy is recovering.
Our economy is recovering. Our economy is recovering.
It doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what you look like, or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white, or Hispanic or Asian, or Native American, or young or old, or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight, gay or straight, gay or straight. You can make it here in America if you're willing to try.
Ladies and gentlemen, the mandate has been determined in the invisible realm, and God is going to let this thing happen. And when God allows a mandate to occur with His sovereignty, He sends forth His decrees. He has His divine council meeting with His holy angels, with His watchers. Then it goes down the chain of command. Based on what I am witnessing right now, the mandate has been signed, sealed, and delivered. And now Obama is going to belong to the powers of darkness, and America is going to be infiltrated and infested with the cesspool of Babylon's spiritual darkness. So as I stated earlier, I saw the darkness coming in a vision, but I didn't know the exact events that were going to play out to cause the darkness. Well, this is one of them, folks. Jeremiah 39, verse 1 through 10. It tells us the princes of Babylon are going to come into the city. America's going to see that happen. Then, in verse 6, it says they took the king of Judah, Zedekiah, and they gouged out his eyes, and they placed him in bronze fetters, chains. They bound him. So let's translate that to the leader of America. Obama is going to have his eyes gouged out spiritually. He's going to make very bad decisions. And as we read on in that chapter, let me just summarize it for you, folks. The economy of America is going to get destroyed. The wealth of the rich is going to be burned, and the wealth of the middle class is going to vaporize. This includes more houses that are going to end up in foreclosure. Displacement of millions of people is coming. This is going to translate into regions of the country where cities are in chaos, where police departments can't afford to patrol the streets. We're going to see houses ransacked. We're going to see home invasions increase. We're going to see civil unrest where cities are actually set on fire. Cities are going to burn. How can I say that? Because in verse 8, it says the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire. They burned the houses, folks. The hedge of God is going to be gone. This is going to result in the attack by outsiders. The American gulag is going to become occupied. I went into great detail about that in my last program, News from the Wall Part 10, so you can go listen to it. Now, there's something else that I need to talk about right here. Again, folks, the formula is incredible. And applying it to September 11th results on Inauguration Day. Now, I was talking to a friend on the phone about this, and they told me, Nathan, what happens if you apply that formula to the Jewish calendar? If you read my article, you know where I'm going with this, but let me just share it. If we take that formula starting September 11th, the Jewish calendar's different than the Gregorian calendar, and in fact, there's two Jewish calendars, but the Jewish calendar that is used right now is what we applied the formula to. And if we were to start at 9/11 and come forward, then we end up in September again, like we did the first time. But on the Jewish calendar, the first month of the year is the month of Tishri. And Tishri occurs approximately in the middle of September. And it ends in the middle of October. So it doesn't match up exactly, and it's always moving around because it recycles according to the moon. So if we were to apply our formula to the Jewish calendar, we have to make a few adjustments, including that days on the Jewish calendar begin at sundown the day before. So to do this formula, we first began in the month of September 2001, and the Jewish month of Tishri is also in September, not at the very beginning, it's around the middle. And Tishri is a special month because this is the month where we find Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now, if we move forward 11 years in time, this takes us to the area again of September 2012, just like we did before. So if we come forward 11 years and then we go to the first month of the Jewish calendar, this is the month of Tishri. Next, if we go forward 4 months, because the formula says 11th year, 4th month, 9th day. If we go forward 4 months, in the Jewish calendar, this takes us to the month of Tevet, T-E-V-E-T. Now, the month of Tevet begins at sundown December 14th, 2012. And by the time you're listening to this program, we are in the month of Tevet, the 4th month. So Tevet 1 starts on December 14th. Now, if we go forward 9 days, this takes us... Now watch this, folks. This takes us to December the 22nd, 2012. However, the Jewish day does not start at midnight. It starts the day before at sundown. So the 9th of Tevet is actually on December the 21st, 2012, in the evening. So I hope that that's not too confusing for you. I have an article on my website that talks about this, but this is what I wanted to visit just for a moment. By applying this same formula to the Jewish calendar, we arrive at December the 21st. Now, for those of you that know, and I'm pretty sure most of the world knows this right now, that is the Mayan day of doom, of the end of the world, of the apocalypse, etc. December the 21st, 2012. So, for those that are saying, Nathan, what are you telling us? What are you trying to say? Now, first of all, let me say this, folks. I'm not even talking about earth changes. Now, I'm not visiting that. But here's what I am visiting. How coincidental is it that the day of the Mayan calendar is also the same day of the formula found in Scripture that reveals when the spirit of Babylon crushes and takes over the land, the city, the area? What does it mean? This is what I think it means, folks. It's not just the Mayans that are aware of the 12/21/12 date. There are other cultures worldwide, including cultures in Asia who also know about this December 21st, 2012 date. Now, at minimum, this date is supposed to signify the end of the age of Pisces and begin the new age of Aquarius, a change in the ages. The age is changing to many people who believe in the esoteric arts. Now, why does that matter? Here's why, folks. Because while this date may not be related to catastrophe and upheaval, it may instead be tied to the release of underworld spirits, and it may be tied to the opening of portals, spiritual gateways. In Jeremiah 39:3, it says, "The princes of Babylon came in and sat at the middle gate." They sat at the gate, folks. They came in and sat at the gate. Now, let's translate that. Is it possible that in the spiritual realm, instead of the middle gate, we're talking about Stargate portals that the spirits of Babylon are going to come through and invade the second heaven of earth, not just over America, but throughout the whole world? Now, why am I saying that? Here's why, folks. During the Olympic ceremony, we saw the theatrical recreation of a portal being opened. We saw the underground portal open on Glastonbury Tour when the oak tree rose and all those men came out that represented the spirits coming from the underworld. And if you listen to my program, it goes into that. It's confirmed by what they use when they quoted from the words of Shakespeare's The Tempest. The Tempest revealed that there was a portal involving a tree where a spirit was held prisoner. I don't want to digress, but the ceremony revealed that there was a portal. When we arrive at December 21st, 2012, is it possible that portals are going to be open and the players that are involved in this grand scheme to take us to the new world are aware that when the Earth goes through the galactic plane, which the galactic plane is that halfway point in the Milky Way, and when the Earth goes through that plane, is it possible that there are stargates, portals? Folks, I'm throwing out questions that what if the Mayan calendar date is, what if it has to do with the release of evil spirits that are held in chains? Ladies and gentlemen, is it possible? Now, let me throw something else out. In Matthew 24, one of the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And then Jesus went into his Olivet Discourse where he shared with us all of the events coming at the end of the age. But one of the key terms was the end of the age. Ladies and gentlemen, on December 21st, 2012, it will be the end of the age of Pisces. Now, I know that in scriptural terms, when we read those words, the end of the age, people are thinking the end of the age of grace, the end of the dispensation of grace, of the new covenant. And I am not discounting that. But the earth is going to be experiencing an end of an age where it has to do with the esoteric believers of the underworld. And I'm not saying that those things can affect our world. But you know, folks, there are a lot of mysteries that are hidden from us as humans. There are many mysteries that God has never revealed to us. In fact, he says in the Gospels that in his parables, he was going to reveal mysteries that have been hid from the foundation of the world. So the parables contain mysteries. That's a whole other subject, but God has mysteries. And because we are physical beings, most people do not think through the lens of portals opening up. But folks, Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of darkness of this world. Revelation tells us there are going to be demonic creatures. There's going to be spiritual dark forces that are a part of the cast of characters in the end times that will deceive most of the world. So folks, this is why I have this alert. Now, if you're listening to this and it's already January, this thing may already be in motion. These spiritual forces will already be at work in the invisible realm. We're going to see the opening of spiritual portals worldwide. And then on top of that, we're going to see the influx of spiritual forces over America, or i.e. over the land of spiritual Babylon. Now, how will this translate into your life? How is it going to affect you, the lives of your loved ones? Well, first of all, this is what's going to happen, folks. We are going to witness a world that seems to be going mad. This means that there's going to be an infestation of evil spirits worldwide, not just in America, but worldwide. So if you're listening to this program and you're outside the borders of America, you're going to witness this, my friend. If you're a Christian, you need to know about this so that you can prepare yourself spiritually and prepare your family. Now, this infestation of evil spirits is going to be like the stirring of a hornet's nest of demonic creatures. It's going to be a satanic swarm that overcome areas of the planet like a dark cloud. It's going to be evil, it's going to be menacing, and there's going to be dark influence over different nations that in times past did not have dark influence. It's going to affect the leaders of nations and influence them into a frenzy of leadership that desires war. War is going to be the end result of this. Right now in the Middle East, there are a lot of interesting events happening. The Middle East is a powder keg. Syria is already conducting some crazy things, bombing their own citizens with missiles. And then there's another report coming that Obama is sending several hundred tanks to Egypt, and he's sending some fighter jets to Egypt. So we are arming our enemies right now. Using the term we is not fair because we didn't do it, folks. The leader in Washington's doing it. But this thing's going to spread worldwide. Again, if you're curious about my calculation, you can go to my website, watchmanscry.com. Now, the other thing that I need to share that I'm very concerned about as it relates to this matter is this, folks. There has been a very popular term that has been used in the pop culture of young people and of Hollywood, of entertainment. It has become a term called the zombie apocalypse, where at first the zombies were the living dead, bodies that had been dead, came back to life, and walked around lifeless, very slow. They seem to be limited in their abilities, and they're easy to kill because they're slow. Well, since then, the zombie genre has turned into creatures that become infected with a new type of virus that makes them rabid. And the new zombie is very quick. He's alive, but he's just under the influence of a viral infection, which takes away his sanity and makes him thirst for blood and hungry for human meat. Why am I bringing this up? Here's why, folks. I have shared my concern, and I've used that term, the zombie apocalypse. But when I'm using that term, I'm not talking about the living dead, and I'm not talking about people infected with a virus that affects their brain. When I use the term zombie apocalypse, I'm speaking symbolically of evil spirits that are contaminating humanity. And as these evil spirits take over their hearts and their minds and their souls, the end result is a person that is demon-possessed, who behave like rabid dogs. So they still behave like zombies, but these maniacs are possessed by spirits, by entities. And that, my friends, is one of my concerns. And not only a concern, but something that is actually very viable and possible. When Jesus was on earth, we can read in the Gospels that Jesus encountered one of these rabid, demon-possessed zombie creatures. For those of you that remember, he crossed the Sea of Galilee, and when he got to the other side, a demon-possessed man came to him, and this demon-possessed man could not be contained. They would put chains on him, but he was always able to break the chains because he had supernatural powers because he was demon-possessed. And he was naked, he was crazy, he was rabid, and he would run around screaming because he was in misery. And when he encountered Jesus, the demons inside of him knew who Jesus was. And they told him something that was very interesting. They said, "We know who you are. You're the Son of God. Have you come here to torment us before our time?" And Jesus asked them, "What is your name?" And they said, "Legion, for we are many." So there were several hundred demons inside this person. And the demons begged Jesus to not send them to the abyss, to the quote-unquote bottomless pit. They begged him, "Jesus, please do not send us to the abyss. Let us go into the pigs." So when Jesus cast them out, they went into the pigs. The pigs went crazy and ran off the cliff, and we know the story, the pigs all drowned. But in a manner of speaking, folks, Jesus encountered the rabid zombie. As the darkness of the end times comes over this planet, this is the type of activity that we are going to be witnessing and hearing about more and more as these zombies take over men's hearts. And as they do this, folks, think about this. We're going to see these maniacs resorting to violence and evil, which could be maybe low-key, it's not that serious, or it doesn't grab headlines, or we can see them resorting to extreme violence, extreme activity, shocking activity, where we will see them doing things as bizarre as eating the faces of homeless people. And you folks remember that story? The guy in Florida, they said he was on bath salts when he attacked that homeless man, and the cops shot and killed him. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm talking about. The demonic hordes are going to be invading this planet, and they're going to be shocking. "Nathan, you're freaking me out. I don't like this. You're scary." You know, folks, this report that I'm bringing to you is not a good report, but I believe it's a very critical, serious report. It's an alert that needs to be shared. We are entering the times of darkness that God has been trying to warn us about. And this thing is not a benign event. It's not an event where, "Oh, it's dark. Wow, I guess I'll turn on my brights on my car." Folks, this thing is so serious that we need to be able to have the tools that take us to the next level in our spiritual walk with God. We have to be able to understand the tools that are available. And we have to start, number one, with understanding what time it is. Now, on January the 20th, on Inauguration Day, whoever raises their hand and says, "I solemnly swear to defend the Constitution, etc., etc., to be the president," and as they go through the drill, it looks at this point that it's going to be Obama When he does that, folks, we're going to see a shift. We're going to see things change. And because of that, I also have to ask this question. Is it possible that the next chapter of the end times is going to happen involving President Obama? Nathan, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Let me say this, folks. Is it possible, if everything that I'm saying is true, spiritual Babylon's coming, it's going to get dark. If everything that I am saying is true, is it possible that from that point on, after Inauguration Day, is Obama going to steer us into the tribulation period? Is he going to be the leader that takes us there? And if so, is he the leader that has been prophesied to be the villain that I brought up at the beginning of this program? Now, while I am not saying that Obama is the Antichrist, because folks, at this point, I don't know. But to just throw that question out, if I were to stop you on the street, or if I was having dinner with you, if I was sitting in your living room, and if I were to ask you the question, hey brother, hey sister, I have a question for you. Yes, Nathan. Do you think Obama's the Antichrist? You know, that guy? Is he the villain? Is he the little horn? What would you say? Would you say, no, he can't be because of this or that? I would then say, well, what's this or that? Well, because the Antichrist is going to come from here, or he's going to come from there, or because of this, or because of that. And you know, folks, I understand the logic to say that. But what if the defined prophecies have been defined wrong when they have to do with the Antichrist, the villain guy? What if we've seen them wrong? What if we were told wrong? Now, let me also say this. If 4 years comes and goes, and then we have a new election and a new person becomes the president, I can understand people saying, Nathan, 4 years ago you said Obama was the Antichrist. Now look, you were wrong. Okay, let me say this. Is it possible that the prophecies that have to do with the end time leader are going to take place through a revolving cycle of leaders? But the kingdom that's going to be producing these leaders is going to be Babylon America, or in other words, the Oval Office, or in other words, the American presidency will be cycling through the end time leaders that we thought was going to be attributed to one guy. Is it possible that it could happen through the cycle of several presidents, and then we'll have the final one? Is that possible? Interesting question, huh, folks? Nathan, if Obama is as bad as you say, he's the final president, and he's going to have his third term in 2016. Maybe. Maybe not. But folks, I'm asking these questions because at this point in time, as late as the hour appears, and I'm pretty sure if I were to ask some of you privately, how close do you think we are to the end times? Or in other words, to the tribulation period. Some of you might even say, you know what, Nathan? I think we're already in the tribulation, or it's going to start next year, or it's in 2 or 3 years. Okay, if you really, really believe that, if it's starting in 1 year, or it's starting now, or in 2 or 3 years, and Obama is about to get inaugurated, what is the possibility of an unknown leader that is not on the stage right now, is not on TV, is not known by the whole world? What is the possibilities that some guy could rise up and gain the momentum that quick? The momentum that Obama has already been gathering for the past 4 years. Is it possible? Well, yeah, it's possible because Obama grabbed that momentum. But folks, when I look at the end time profile of the villain that we can find in scripture, and then I compare it to President Obama, there are some things that are interesting. There are some things that match up. I know that that most people do not want to visit what I'm talking about right now because it just sounds crazy. Nathan, Obama's not smart enough. I've heard that. He needs a teleprompter. He flubs up. When that end time guy shows up, he's going to be a great speaker. He'll be sharp. He'll have pizzazz and charisma. He'll be able to woo the crowd. And I understand why people say that, and that's because, well, we've been influenced by Hollywood and by end time books and end time opinion. The Left Behind series had this guy that he would walk into a room and everyone would just get hypnotized by him. He was able to control their thoughts and control their feelings and their emotions. And he had supernatural abilities that were almost on the level of wizardry. And some could argue Nathan Obama doesn't do that. And besides, he's not a Nephilim. The Antichrist is going to be a Nephilim. And to that statement, I answer, good point. Maybe. Maybe you're right. You see, folks, I understand why some people would say no way, but at the same time, I need to also have this on the table. Because my theme, one of the themes of this ministry says that end time prophecy is going to be given to us with a curveball. That's why I'm visiting this thing. I'm just asking the question out loud. And because I'm going to ask this question out loud, I'm going to address it and visit this thing from two different points of view. Number one, I'm going to discuss in some upcoming programs, because we're going to talk about this in some upcoming programs, we are going to visit the reality that Obama is probably one of the most mysterious political figures that many of us have ever witnessed, probably ever in the history of American politics. The guy is an anomaly. The guy does not seem to have a past. The guy seems to be reliant on manufactured creative records. There are a lot of parts of his past that just do not make sense. There are too many conflicting stories. You know, when you take any other politician, it's pretty easy to find their past. You can just look at their driver's license record. Look at their school records. It's easy. Look at their social security number. But Mr. Obama has lived all over the world. He lived in the East. He lived in Africa. He lived in Asia. And possibly he lived in places that we do not even know. But where did he come from? Who groomed him? Who are his handlers? Well, we know one of them, Mr. George Soros. But who are his handlers? How long was he a project to become the president? Was it a roll of the dice? Hey, let's get that guy from Chicago. He sounds good. Where'd this guy come from, folks? He's going to be affecting your life for the next 4 years if you're an American and if you live abroad. Obamacare is not going to get canceled. Not at this point. The future of America over the next 4 years is going to be incredible. We're going to see the decline of America in ways we never imagined. Folks, look how far Obama has taken us just in the last 4 years. From where we are in 2008 to where we are now. Incredible changes. Now imagine those changes happening under the influence of some very powerful spiritual entity that's been around for thousands and thousands of years, who's had a lot of practice influencing kings and dictators and queens. When Jesus spoke to the crazy guy, he encountered a demon-possessed man. I have a question to throw out, folks. Has there ever been a U.S. president that was demon-possessed? Is it possible that these high-level principalities, these princes from Babylon, could influence our friend in the White House? Is it possible that spirits could move into him that would give him the flair that he needs to do the next phase? Yes, it is. So, as I come to the end of this program, I want to say this, folks. We're facing something very, very profound over the next few weeks. And this thing cannot be taken lightly. It needs to be understood. It needs to be visited. It needs to be talked about. I believe that the remnant and the people of God need to know about what I'm talking about right here. They need to know that what I'm discussing is a valid concern that they need to get a hold of, understand, and do something about. Now, if you're listening to this program and you find yourself a little spooked, which I can understand, my friend, I don't bring these things out to spook you or to scare you or to make you sad and depressed and cause one to think that there's no hope, because there is hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus can provide the necessary tools for your victory. Jesus can give you what you need for strength and for endurance. He can give you the peace that you need, but it's only through Him. So please do not give up. And if you have not heard the last program that I put out, I just put out a sermon that visited finding strength in God. I have received emails from some of you that have told me that it has really helped you to see God in a different light, to break through the crust of some of the things that have been restraining you and withholding God's touch from you. So if you have not heard that program, my friends, please go to watchmanscry.com and listen to it. 165 part 7, or it's part 7 of the Olympic series. It is a sermon to strengthen God's people. take the time to do that. I plan to talk about this topic further, and in our next part of News from the Wall, we're going to look into the scriptures to see the prophecies about the end time villain. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of things that are coming, and we cannot afford to be sitting on our hands right now and doing nothing. So stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.